Let's continue in our talks from 2 Kings 9 by reading verses 14 through the end of the chapter. Here we read of the removal of King Jehoram and Queen Jezebel from Israel, as well as the death and removal of King Ahaziah of Judah. This is all accomplished through Jehu, the new king of Israel, and it is all part of God's judgment upon the wicked dynasty of Ahab. Now, this is kind of a long section, so let's take it in two parts. First of all, verses 14 through 29, where we have the deaths of King Jehoram and King Ahaziah, and then verses 30 through 37, the death of Queen Jezebel. Verse 14. So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram or Jehoram. Now Jehoram had been defending Ramoth-Gilead, he and all Syria, against Hazael, king of Syria. But King Jehoram had returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which the Syrians had inflicted on him when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Jehu said, "If you are so minded, let no one leave or escape from the city to go and tell it in Jezreel." So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Jehoram was laid up there, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, had come down to see Jehoram. Now a watchman stood on the tower in Jezreel, and he saw the company of Jehu as he came, and said, "I see a company of men." And Jehoram said, "Get a horseman and send him to meet them, and let him say, 'Is it peace?'" So the horseman went to meet him and said, "Thus says the king, is it peace?" And Jehu said, "What have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me." And the watchman reported, saying, "The messenger went to them, but is not coming back." Then he sent out a second horseman who came to them and said, "Thus says the king, is it peace?" And Jehu answered, "What have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me." And the watchman reported, saying, "He went up to them and is not coming back, and the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he drives furiously." So Jehoram said, "Make ready." And his chariot was made ready. Then Jehoram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot, and they went out to meet Jehu and met him on the property of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now it happened when Jehoram saw Jehu that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" So he answered, "What peace as long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many?" Then Jehoram turned around and fled and said to Ahaziah, "Treachery, Ahaziah." Now Jehu drew his bow with full strength and shot Jehoram between his arms. And the arrow came out at his heart, and he sank down in his chariot. Then Jehu said to Bidkar, his captain, "Pick him up and throw him into the tract of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. For remember when you and I were riding together behind Ahab his father, that the Lord laid this burden upon him. Surely I saw yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his son, says the Lord, and I will repay you in this plot, says the Lord. Now therefore take and throw him on the plot of ground, according to the word of the Lord." But when Ahaziah, king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the road to Beth-Hagan. So Jehu pursued him and said, "Shoot him also in the chariot." And they did so at the ascent to Gur, which is by Ibleam. Then he fled to Megiddo and died there. And his servants carried him in the chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in the tomb with his fathers in the city of David. In the 11th year of Jehoram, the son of Ahab, Ahaziah had become king over Judah. All right, background notes for this portion of 2 Kings chapter 9. Jehu was a military commander designated by God to be the next king of the nation of Israel. Now, it's not that Jehu was a godly leader, far from it, but he was used of God to hold back the increasing Baal worship in the northern kingdom of Israel, as well as to bring about the downfall and removal of the dynasty of Ahab, everyone connected with the evil house of Ahab. After Jehu was anointed by Elisha's servant, he quickly made plans to ride to Jezreel where King Jehoram was recovering from some battle wounds. And verse 20 says that Jehu was driving furiously. So if anyone ever says to you, "You drive like Jehu," all right, that is not a compliment, all right? Not a compliment. Further background notes. King Jehoram and King Ahaziah of Judah, who's visiting his uncle Jehoram there at Jezreel, they both get in their chariots and they come out to meet Jehu. They're totally unsuspecting at this point. No armor, they're just coming out to get the report. And so we read there in verse 22, King Jehoram says, "Is it peace, Jehu?" In other words, What's the report from the battlefront? Is all well? Is it peace? Well, we see there in verse 22 that Jehu replies, "What peace, as long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many?" Well, King Jehoram realizes at this point that Jehu is out to usurp the throne. He tries to escape, and so does Ahaziah, but both are killed. So much for background notes. How about doctrinal points? Here's the doctrinal point from this part. God's prophecies of judgment will come true. God's prophecies of judgment will come true. The deaths of King Jehoram and King Ahaziah, and as we'll read in the next section, the death of Queen Jezebel, are not by chance. They are fulfillment of prophecy. Back in 1 Kings 21, God had pronounced judgment upon the house of Ahab. That prophecy of judgment was given by Elijah a number of years before, but now we see that it's being carried out. And it's interesting to note that it's being carried out in part in Naboth's vineyard, verse 21 here, the very place where the prophecy was given. God's prophecies of judgment will come true. There are prophecies in the Bible of future judgments, yet to come, judgments on this world and on individuals who reject Christ. They will come true, even though people ridicule the Bible and doubt its prophecies. These prophecies of judgment will come true. God's prophecies of judgment will come true. What about practical application from this section? Here it is. You cannot escape God's judgment. You cannot escape God's judgment. God had pronounced judgment on the house of Ahab. He had said no one would escape, and no one did. Now, I trust everyone here this morning is a true believer in our Lord Jesus, and that no one here is just going through the motions. That's always a possibility. But I trust you're not doing that, because you cannot escape God's judgment. Listen to the words of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Escape? Escape what? Escape the judgment of God. If you neglect God's great salvation in Jesus Christ, there is judgment that awaits you in the future. You cannot escape it. You cannot escape God's judgment. Let's read the rest of the chapter, 2 Kings 9, verses 30 through 37. Here's where we have the account of the death of Queen Mother Jezebel. And when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she put paint on her eyes, and adorned her head, and looked through a window. Then as Jehu entered at the gate, she said, "Is it peace, Zimri, murderer of your master?" And he looked up at the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And two or three eunuchs looked out at him. Then he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood splattered on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. And when he had gone in, he ate and drank. Then he said, "Go now, see to this accursed woman, and bury her, for she was a king's daughter." So they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore they came back and told him, and he said, "This is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'On the plot of ground at Jezreel, dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel shall be as refuse on the surface of the field in the plot at Jezreel, so that they shall not say, here lies Jezebel.'" All right, once again, a couple of background notes here. Jezebel did not paint her eyes and adorn herself to try and seduce Jehu. That's not what's going on here. No, she wanted to die like a queen. She was originally from Phoenicia, and that's what Phoenician queens did as they prepared for death. She says in verse 31 to Jehu, "Is it peace, Zimri, murderer of your master?" Now, what's she referring to here? She's referring to a former king of Israel named Zimri who usurped the throne by murdering his predecessor. When Jezebel, the queen mother, is thrown out of the window, her blood was splattered on the wall and her body was eaten by dogs. Not a pleasant story here. And you can see the ruthlessness of Jehu as he just tramples her over with his horse and chariot and so forth. But this also was fulfillment of Elijah's prophecy, spoken years before. Let me read again, 1 Kings 21 and verse 23. And concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Well, with this unpleasant thought in our minds, let's move then to our doctrinal point from this section, and it's this. Jezebel's violent end is a prophetic picture of the end of future Babylon. Jezebel's violent end is a prophetic picture of the end of future Babylon. In the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and 18, we read of a future Babylon that is destroyed. This Babylon of the future is a future political religious system which opposes God, but it meets a sudden and violent end, as Jezebel did. In the book of Revelation, this future Babylon is symbolized as a prostitute, living in sinful luxury, using sorcery, and plotting the death of the saints, just as Jezebel did. But Babylon meets a violent and sudden end, just as Jezebel did. And as Jezebel's destruction was total and complete, not even a grave marker left, as you see at the last verse of our chapter, 2 Kings 9, so the destruction of future Babylon will be total and complete. Let me just read a couple of scriptures from Revelation chapter 18 in this connection. Revelation chapter 18, verse 2, Babylon the Great is fallen and has become a habitation of demons, a prison of every foul spirit. Verse 7, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. What a day of judgment that will be. Jezebel's violent end is a prophetic picture of the end of future Babylon. Now, what about practical application? Prepare your soul and not just your body for death. Prepare your soul and not just your body for death. Jezebel painted her eyes and adorned her body as she prepared for death. But her soul was not prepared. She will be in hell forever. Many people today prepare themselves for death, but they forget about their souls. They settle up their financial affairs. They buy a cemetery plot. They write their wills, but they never settle accounts with God. They never receive Christ as Savior. They die in their sins. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, we read that the Lord said, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Prepare your soul and not just your body for death.